Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen. Amen. Well, over the past couple months, as Pastor Don said, I've been talking about what goes on up here in our mind and how important it is for our minds to be renewed so that we can be transformed into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In particular, we've been using or looking at Romans 12:2 as our theme scripture, and it says, Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's not easy to wade through all the clutter that's out there that tries to enter into our mind. And, you know, to learn so that we can learn to focus on what is coming from God. I mean, it's sometimes like wading through a swamp. There's so much, you know, stuff out there. But this scripture does give us a clue what we should expect when we start to turn away from that stuff and begin, the foolish thinking of this world, and we begin to start turning towards God and having our mind renewed by Him. Over and over, I've concentrated on how we're supposed to be transformed by renewing our mind, but we really haven't looked yet at the second part of the scripture, which says, Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now that sounds pretty amazing to me that, you know, we can do that, because who doesn't want to find out what God's will is for their life? I mean, we all want that. I hope everybody should want that. What kind of plans does God have for me? How can I hear His voice? Is God really speaking to me? Has He really called me? I mean, how can I be sure that it's His voice I'm hearing? Those are things that, you know, I'm sure many of us wonder at different times. And I want to start out by saying that there isn't one person in this room that God has not called out to. He is speaking to all of us. He is calling out to all of us. He has called out to all of us and is still calling. God has called all people everywhere to come to repentance. Revelation 3:20 says, Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. So that means He's knocking on that door, the door of everyone's heart, because He said, if anyone hears His voice. Romans 1:7 tells us that we are called to be saints. Romans 8:28 says that we've been called according to His purpose. In 1 Peter 2:9 tells us that God called us out of the darkness and into His wonderful light. So you see, there's this constant call coming out from God. He's not just up there and, you know, like just wondering what's going to happen down here. Or He didn't just create the earth and just let it go now, as some people believe, that He's totally disinterested. He is very interested and He's very involved in what's going on down here. God is very involved and He's always trying to contact us, make contact with us, speak to us. God is real. He's alive. And He does speak, and He wants to communicate with you. He really does. He wants to communicate with you. Sometimes we haven't just learned how to hear His voice. We just haven't quite got it down yet. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is about a young boy who had been dedicated to God as a child. And he was serving under a priest named Eli. And at the time we enter the story, the boy really didn't have a personal relationship with God, even though he was serving in the temple. He was serving the man, the priest. But he really didn't know God yet. And so he sort of depended on that priest, that man, to tell him about God and maybe what God was wanting him to do or what God was going to say to him. But that was about to be changed because God was calling out to him, even as a young boy. And that's where we enter the story in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. Go back and go to sleep." So he went and laid down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, what do you want? You called me again." "My son," Eli said, "I didn't call you. Now go back and lay down." Isn't that sometimes like how it is with our kids? "No, you don't have to go to the bathroom. Get back in bed and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up, went to Eli, and he says, "Here again. I'm here again. Here I am. You called me." Then Eli finally started thinking about something, and he said, realized that the Lord was calling the boy, and so he said, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli came to him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." And the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. So we saw that up until that time, Samuel did not know how to discern the voice of God. He only knew about God through others. And it's easy to learn about God from other people and let them tell us everything that God is saying. The Israelites had Moses do this for them. If you remember in Deuteronomy 5:27, it says, go near and listen to all the Lord God says. Then tell us what the Lord our God tells you, and we will listen and obey. It's easy to let somebody else listen for us, because sometimes it seems hard to really quiet down, to humble ourselves, to get before God, to push away all that other clutter that we were talking about and really get quiet and personal before God. So sometimes we just like to hear from someone else. But God wants to communicate with each one of us personally. Everybody loves it when a prophet comes to town. I do too. We all do. We want to hear the word of the Lord for our lives. We want to have our own Moses so we can, you know, get what the word from them is, because they already went to the mountain. Then we can hear what God tells us. And there's nothing wrong with hearing a prophet, hearing somebody speak as the Lord speaks through them. I mean, Samuel was a prophet. And it's especially great when he speaks and confirms what God has already been telling us. And you'll notice when you get a word from a prophet that that's exactly what's going to happen. That the word of the Lord will come and it will bear witness in your spirit and in your heart that God is, that's what God has been speaking to you. And it's a confirmation from God. And the more we go to God personally and get to know Him, the more likely that God might even speak to us through the prophets. And when that happens, it's a tremendous faith builder. But that shouldn't take the place of our own personal relationship with God. It can't. We can't let other people always be the ones who tell us about God. God wants us to go to the mountain ourselves. He wants us to go to the prayer closet ourselves and learn how to hear His voice and hear His words so we can be His witnesses. We don't want to have second-hand witnesses, third-hand, fourth-hand witnesses running around. We want to be eyewitnesses of what God has done, what God is doing, sharing His word, testifying to who He is. In Matthew 10:27, Jesus said, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs." We can't do that if we're just hearing from somebody else. Just like Samuel was awakened and the Lord spoke to him, God wants to awaken in each one of us the ability to hear His voice. He really does. He wants to wake us up, shake us and wake us so we can hear His voice, because He's always knocking at that door. He's always calling us. He's always desiring to speak to us. It's not just a one-time thing, once in your life, here or there, maybe. God wants to talk to us all the time. Now, just like Samuel was told to go back to sleep by Eli, sometimes when we hear God speaking to us, we're going to find that other people are going to tell us to go back to sleep. It's going to happen. God stirs us up, stirs up our hearts. We go out and we start acting different or speaking different. Before you know it, our family, our friends, our co-workers, others are saying, "You know, you're going too far, man. You're just a fanatic. Go back to sleep." The devil will always try to get us to lay down, go back to sleep. He doesn't want us to hear God's voice. He would rather keep us as lazy and ineffective and without any purpose. That's His plan. We can be Christians. He doesn't mind if we're a Christian, as long as we don't do anything about it. As long as we just live a lazy life, never speak to anyone, never do anything for God, what's the threat? But God will keep calling us, just like He did to Samuel, until we finally figure out that it's His voice. Because He wants us to hear Him. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He said that He wants to come in and sup with us. He wants to, you know how it is, fellowship when you have dinner, when you sit down and you eat together. That's how God wants to be. He wants to have that kind of a close relationship with us. So how do we hear His voice? What can we do to open up our ears and hear Him speak to us? Where are we going to find Him? Well, as always, first and foremost, I can guarantee you it will be through His Word. The Word is the highest spiritual authority that we have. And so it is only natural that God would use His Word to communicate to us. In fact, even though there are many ways God can communicate and speak to us, it will always line up with the Word. It should always line up with the Word. We need to make sure whatever we hear never goes against the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12-13 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. And when it says it judges, it doesn't just judge us in a vacuum. What it's doing, it's saying that when we read the Word, this living Word, it judges it and it speaks the judgment to our heart. It tells us that this is wrong, this is right, this needs to be adjusted, that you need to think that way. God's Word will judge our thoughts and our attitudes and our heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him whom we must give an account. And where does all this happen? It's talking about the Word. It's the Word that does this as we read His Word. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can literally speak to us as we read the Bible through that Word. It's almost like those words on the page become alive and they have this new, because they are living, and because they have this new power and this new insight, we look at them and they jump out at us and they speak to us. Of course, for God to be able to do that and use the Word to speak to us means first that we have to read the Word. We have to get into that Word and read it, and the more we do that, the better it will be. As we're involved in reading and studying the Word, God can speak to us about all kinds of things. Not just that Word, not just that particular thing that's written there. He'll use that thing that is written there and all that we read to speak into all aspects of our life. It's amazing that whatever we read in God's Word so often applies to whatever we're going through at that time. I find that totally amazing. On Thursdays, we're going through 1 Kings, and every time we read in there, we always find things that are going on in the Bible that are, you know, relative to what is happening today. And we're talking Old Testament even. Another way God will communicate with us, Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that men are without excuse. God reveals Himself in nature, as well as in science, in math, in physics, in space. God is the creator of all things, so we find His signature everywhere. We find His character in all these different things. We find His beauty, His glory, His inner workings, His order, His perfection. We find that everywhere that we look, we find God, because God created it all. So He speaks to us through every science, every art, everything. Anywhere we go, we can learn from God. Anything we do, we can learn from God. When I see a beautiful sunset, when I stand on the shore of an ocean or one of the Great Lakes, when I look up into the sky out somewhere, when you're out in the wilderness area and it's dark out and you look up into the sky and see a million stars, when I'm standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon or maybe even down in the bottom of it and looking around, every time I've been into doing all those kind of things and many more, every time I can't help but think about God and how awesome He is and what He has done, and how, especially when I look up at the sky or something big like the Grand Canyon, how insignificant my problems are compared to the universe that God has created, and how great and wonderful and awesome He is, His majesty. It speaks to us. God speaks to us through all things if we look and we let Him. God will also speak to us during worship. We just talked about that a little while ago. Sometimes we draw close to Him during worship like no other place. That's one of my favorite ways to reach God. Music is a gift from God. It's something that God created. God created music. And when we use that music to bring glory to God and to worship Him and to praise Him, we find wonderful connections with God. We touch Him. We enter into that Holy of Holies as we worship. God will speak to us all another way is through His Holy Spirit. Continually, He will do that. If we allow the Holy Spirit to move freely in us, God will speak to us through His Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. We could never guess. We could never understand. We could never fathom. We could just never figure out what God is doing, what God is like, what God has prepared, except that it says in verse 10, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And so if the Holy Spirit knows even the deep things of God, and the Holy Spirit is living inside of us and ministering and revealing God's truth to us, He reveals God. God speaks to us through His Spirit. Of course, the Holy Spirit is God, too. But He uses the Holy Spirit to reveal, like, the inner workings of everything around us, of all that God is doing. Another way that God speaks to us, again, is through prayer. Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Not only will He reward you with an answer to prayer, but He rewards us by listening and speaking back to us, by letting us know that He's there, that He cares, that we're special to Him, we're brought into His family, that He loves us, that He's adopted us as His children. The secret to prayer is secret prayer. Praying with other people is good. I like doing that. It's encouraging. And it's certainly necessary for, intercessory prayer, to get in there with other people and to intercede for the church. It's certainly necessary to pray with other people when we're praying for people. When we get together with others and pray with them, we pray with our children or our family, whatever, our friends, when we get together and have prayer meetings. All those are good. But God wants us to get to know Him also on a personal level. Our whole prayer life cannot be summed up in prayer with others. There needs to be prayer with others and prayer with God. Intimate times with God. That's what God is looking for, intimate times. And He reveals that to us the way He speaks to us when He talks about how a husband and wife are together. And then He says, just like Him and the church. See, Jesus looks at us, we're the bride. The church is the bride of Christ. And He's like the groom, and He wants to be, intimate, obviously not in a physical way, but intimate in a spiritual way, where we can communicate and know Him and understand Him. Sometimes God speaks to us through other people. It might be a message like this right here. And I'm talking, and we can understand with our mind the words I'm saying, and we can say, oh yeah, that's good, I understand that, yeah, that makes sense. But then there's other times where a light goes off and God speaks to you. That's why I always pray that the Holy Spirit will not only anoint me to speak, but anoint your heart and your mind and your spirit to hear. Because when the Word of God is spoken, we want to hear that Word, and we don't just want to hear it and just hear it as a word, but we want to hear it into our spirit and hear that life, that same living word speaking to us and communicating with us, and some kind of bell ringing like in our mind where we say, oh my gosh, yes, And sometimes it's not even the word I'm saying. All of a sudden, this other thing comes up and God reveals something else to you. And you could be writing down on that little sheet of paper that we put in the bulletin, what has God spoken to me? Because we put that in there because we know that a lot of times God will speak things to us in the middle of a message that's not even in the message. It's just God speaking to us because as someone else is talking about his word, and the Holy Spirit is here, God can speak to any one of us and speak all kinds. Every one of you can be hearing something different as I'm speaking this message. So he can speak to us through other people. Maybe, like I said, through this message, maybe through a prophetic word. Maybe when Ed Trout's here or somebody else is prophesying or giving a word. Or maybe it's even just a regular conversation you're having with somebody and you know, you're talking about something, maybe they're talking about God, and all of a sudden God speaks to you in the middle of that conversation. He can do that. He can do anything. Sometimes it's a good book. You know, maybe it tells of somebody else's experience and how they were touched by God, how God used them, how great things happened through God, and we read that, and God says, he speaks through that story to us. And then he says, you know, you could do that. That could be you. Or this other thing that's similar maybe. And he stirs up in our mind that, you know, that great thing that we just read about, that same greatness is just, it's just stirring up inside of us. Because we've all been created to do great works for God. To be world changers. I believe that. Every one of us. We're designed, we're created, we're brought into this earth, we're brought into this time, into this church, into this area, to be world changers, to do good works for God. Of course, there's no other book that comes close to the Bible. We always got to remember, all those other books, as good as they are, I don't care if it's a story, you know, telling a story about what happened, or even, it could even be fiction. Or it might be a study book, it might be a study guide, it might be a commentary, things like that that, you know, stir us up and they tell us about. Maybe they even talk about God's Word, but remember, that's just another human talking about God's Word. We always have to make sure the final authority is God's Word, not those other books. Another thing that happens, and this one is very important. It's brokenness and repentance. When we get to a place like that where we've been broken by God, and it can happen in so many different ways for so many different reasons. It could be sin. It could be, you know, something else that happened. It could be just a disastrous event that happened. It could be all kinds of things. And it just breaks us. And then maybe we realize, you know, maybe we didn't do something the way we should have, or maybe we did sin, or maybe we didn't do what, you know, enough, or whatever it is. And we repent and we get before God, and there's this humility and there's this brokenness, and we're humbled before God. I know that's happened to me, and I sometimes think that is when we hear the voice of God more clear than any other time. The more broken we are, the more repentant we are, I think the more God is able to let us hear him and touch us, and where he can speak to us and make himself known. And then one last way I just want to briefly mention, Philippians 3:10 says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And that's through suffering. Nobody wants to suffer. And yet if you look up suffering in the Bible, that's the part of every Christian's life. We follow the example of Christ who suffered, and over we find things that suffering produces perseverance. It doesn't say we should never suffer. You'll hear that sometimes in the faith message from these kind of churches that are the hyper-faith things, but that's not what you'll find in the Bible. The Bible speaks very clearly that the life of a Christian, just like other people, we're going to have problems, we're going to have troubles, and we're going to suffer. every one of us. There's no way around it. There's no way to avoid it. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. That's what Paul wrote. Why would he say that? Who wants to fellowship sharing in somebody's sufferings? That doesn't sound like fun, does it? Man, you're so miserable and suffering. Can I come over and hang out today? Maybe I can pick up some of that suffering and, you know, suffer with you. You know, I mean, we would do it to encourage somebody, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about taking on the suffering. That's not something we normally would think we would ever want to do. And yet Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. There's something in... When Paul writes about sharing the suffering of Christ, he's revealing a mystery, a great mystery. When we suffer and we put our hope in Christ and join Christ in our suffering, we get to know and understand him in a way that we would never have been able to know it had we not suffered. Christ suffered greatly. He endured the shame, the scorn of the cross. And he did it for us. It said, for the joy that was set before him. In the midst of that suffering, he was looking past that suffering to the joy that was set before him. And see, there's a certain hope that comes out in the midst of that suffering. There's a certain camaraderie with Christ. There's a certain hope about what's going to be on the other side of that suffering. There's a faith building that happens in that suffering. And there's a time when God can speak to us in the midst of that suffering. I remember Donna Medrano standing right up here talking about, she said, I know with, you know, she goes, I've got this MS, multiple sclerosis. And she goes, you know, and it's a drag having it. But if it was a matter of having that or not having that, but if I didn't have it, I wouldn't know what I've learned from Christ during that time. I'll take this. And I think anybody who's gone through suffering, if we've gone through it where we've really met God in the midst of that suffering, we've let God speak to us in the midst of that suffering, we could honestly say that as bad as it was, I learned from it and I wouldn't trade it, even though I wouldn't want to go through it again. But I wouldn't trade for what happened. It's tough sometimes. Living can be tough. Life can be tough. And yet God says he can give us this peace that transcends all understanding. How does he give us that? He communicates it to us. He speaks to us in the midst of our tough times, in the midst of our suffering. And he comforts us, the God of all hope. The God of all comfort us, comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we might comfort others when they're going through suffering and troubles. The truth is, God can speak to us any way he wants. He can speak to us during the suffering. He can speak to us during the high times, the joy, when everything's going right. Of course, we have a harder time listening then. I think when we're suffering, when we're broken, we're so desperate, we're willing to listen to anything, anywhere we can find help. And God knows then that we're at a place where he can finally get our attention. And it's not that the suffering is good, but it's what the suffering can produce. I mean, nobody wants to suffer. But God can speak to us however he wants. And he's always knocking on the door of our heart in some way. Some way, somehow. The real question is, are we listening? Are we listening? There are so many voices out there competing for our attention. It's almost like if we're trying to listen to a radio, and we're trying to listen to a song through all the static and fuzz. Have you ever done that? You're out camping, you're out and driving across the state back in the old days when, you know, we didn't have good radios or Cyrus radio or whatever, you know. And, you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere and you can't pick up anything. And all you get is, oh, there's a song. Come on, let's leave it on. Maybe we can hear that. You know, you're just waiting. You're just wishing. And what we need to do is we try to adjust that dial. And we're so happy when we adjust it and the station gets clear. Isn't that nice then when all of a sudden we can hear the music? And I can guarantee you that God's signal, His voice, is being broadcast loud and clear. The problem is not the signal. The problem is the receiver. It's the static. It's the stuff that's in our life that gets in the way. And sometimes we get lazy. Sometimes we're so lazy we don't even turn the radio on. Sometimes we don't like the message, so we turn the station. Sometimes we get so used to hearing the message or the word that we become immune to it, and it doesn't have any effect on us anymore. There's only one right way to respond to God's word, to God's voice, to God's call. And it's the way that Samuel did. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Come to him like a child would, humble, submissive, willing, trusting, obedient. When we learn to listen, just like Samuel grew up to be a great man of God. God used him to preserve his people, to rebuild the nation of Israel. He affected the lives of many, many people for God in a positive way. He listened and he obeyed. He shared what God showed him. He built God's kingdom because he was willing to listen to God's voice and speak out about what he heard. Matthew 11:15 says, "He who has ears, let him hear." John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Luke 11:28 says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Matthew 7:24, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock." You know, I like us to choose wisely. What are we building our life on? Are we building on the rock? Are we building on a solid foundation? We can be that wise man or that wise woman building on God's word. Every one of us can, as we hear God's voice. God is there for each one of us. Always. He's always knocking at the door. And if we listen to His voice and we open up that door, His word says that He will come in and be with us. Our faith will grow, and we will learn to hear His voice in a better and clearer way. Jesus is alive. He's here. He's with us. He says He will always be with us. Why would He always be with us? Why would He never leave us or forsake us and then never talk to us? It doesn't make any sense. He's alive, and He wants to have a living relationship with us. He wants to speak to us, to talk to us, to come into our lives and fellowship with us. He wants to be our best friend. And as I said earlier, there's only one right way to respond to that. Just like a little 12-year-old boy by the name of Samuel, when he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." We got to make ourselves available. If I could have the prayer team come forward. I've talked, as I said earlier at the beginning, about We've been talking for quite a while, in fact, about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's only as we have a renewed mind, as we do all the different things we've been talking about for the last couple months, the more our mind is renewed, the more clearly we will hear God's voice. The more clearly we hear God's voice, the more our mind will be renewed. We start a process. We start a process that feeds on itself and helps us to grow and be transformed into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We become like Him. We don't become Him. We become like Him. Let's close now in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You, Lord God. We thank You that You do speak to us, that we are not alone, that we are not abandoned, that we are not helpless or without help, but that You are there with us, You are there for us, and that You are here to speak to us and communicate with us and fellowship with us. What a privilege to have a constant open door policy with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a privilege to be called a child of the King. Thank You, Lord God, for opening Your door and Your heart to us. Thank You for speaking to us. Thank You for making the way available to us, for tearing the veil in two that opened up the Holy of Holies, so that we can now have a constant communion with You, the King of Kings. Lord, I pray for each person here, for every single one of us, that we would press in and more begin to hear the voice of our God, hear the word of our Lord, hear the Holy Spirit as He's ministering and speaking and guiding us into all truth. Lord, help us to be good listeners. Good listeners. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.